Thank you, Mr. White. Good morning and happy Sabbath to you all.
Good morning.
A man was waiting in the examination room of a doctor's office. Now this man, he looked a little worried. The doctor finally came in to administer his annual physical. So the first thing the doctor did was he asked, "Is there anything troubling you?" "Well, to tell the truth, Doc, yes," answered the patient. "You see, I seem to be getting forgetful." "No, it's actually worse than that. I can never remember where I parked my car, where I'm going, or what it is that I'm going to do once I get there. And that's even if I get there. So I really need your help. What can I do? What is it that I can do?" Well, the doctor mused for a moment, and then he answered in the kindest of tones, "Pay me in advance." In just over 4 weeks, the spring feast days will be here. And the spring holidays, they always begin with a very special evening. We, as God's elect, will soon observe the Passover as it commemorates the death of Jesus Christ and symbolizes our deliverance from sin. God has commanded that all of His people, those that are baptized and have received the gift of God's Holy Spirit through the laying of on hands, to assemble and take part in this very special ceremony. During the service, as we partake of the bread and wine, we do it in remembrance of Jesus Christ, renewing our spiritual covenant with God. Please turn with me to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And you'll want to put your ribbon or bookmark here, because we'll spend a lot of time. 1 Corinthians 11. Where we'll take a look at a portion of Paul's admonition to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Verse 25. "In the same manner, he also took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me.'" Verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." So we take of the bread and wine during this annual ceremony in remembrance of Jesus Christ. In doing so, we proclaim and declare that he gave his life so that we might be forgiven of sin. Paul continues on in verse 27, which I'll read from the Revised Standard Version. Verse 27, "Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord." The King James Version uses the word "unworthily" rather than "unworthy." The Greek word for "unworthily" is anuxios, meaning to treat something irreverently. Interestingly, the word "profane," which I just read in verse 27, according to Webster's dictionary, means to treat something that is sacred with abuse, irreverence, or contempt. So we find that whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an irreverent or abusive manner will be guilty of abusing the body and blood of the Lord. The scripture is not talking about whether we are worthy or unworthy to keep the Passover. It's not talking about that. It's speaking about the manner in which we prepare and observe it. We must prepare and observe the Passover in a worthy manner. We must prepare and observe the Passover in a worthy manner. Some here have observed the Passover for over 40 years. For some, it might be the very first time. And no matter the number, whether it's our first, our 10th, our 40th, even our 50th, it cannot become just a routine ritual. We must prepare and observe the Passover in a worthy manner. Let's continue reading in verse 28. Verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. The New Living Translation says, that is why a man should examine himself carefully before eating the bread and drinking from the cup. The Amplified Bible says, let a man thoroughly examine himself, and only when he is done, so should he eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Although this examination process, it's a lifelong endeavor, we must examine ourselves even more diligently as we approach the Passover. We're to constantly examine ourselves to check on our progress, the progress of overcoming sin. You know, there have been times when I thought I had conquered a sin, and then out of the blue, it pops up and rears its ugly head. And then hopefully I go back to God with a repentant attitude, asking Him to help me make a change. Does that always happen? No. It should. In this physical life as Christians, we're going to be constantly tempted. And we will allow evil into our lives. It happens. It's sad. But you know, as long as we have this carnal human nature, we're going to occasionally give in to sin. So what are some of the areas that we could examine? We could examine our personal study habits. For instance, have we grown in biblical understanding and spiritual knowledge over the last year? Perhaps we could examine our attitudes, because God is concerned about our attitudes, and He wants to know if we're totally committed to Him. What is our attitude towards the Sabbath, towards the holy days, towards God's plan for all of mankind? The list can go on and on and on. In just a few minutes, we're going to look at three areas. Three areas of our lives that I feel specifically require our self-examination. After a thorough examination, I think we'll all be convinced that we need the sacrifice of Christ even more than ever before, Let's continue reading in 1 Corinthians 11, in verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're to give proper reverence to Jesus Christ for the sacrifice of his body. Do we discern the body? Do we discern the body? Do we recognize the need for Christ's sacrifice in our lives? Have we come to understand and deeply believe what Christ's life and crucifixion means for all of mankind? On the other hand, the body of Christ also represents the church. We are individual members of God's church. Again, do we discern the body? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24. It's just a page over in my Bible. The next page, actually. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 24. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. As individual members of Christ's body, how do we treat each other? When one of us suffers, do the rest of us rally around and become a support group? Do we rejoice when another member is honored? We are commanded to love one another just as he loved us. How are we doing? How are we doing? Have we ever spoken evil of one another lately? Or have we allowed hatred and divisions among us? Have we personally sown discord? How do we treat the body of Christ? Let's now go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. When we observe the Passover in an unworthy manner, we're found guilty of abusing the body and blood of the Lord. If left unchecked, we can become spiritually weak and sick. Let's not go to sleep spiritually. Let us all prepare to observe the Passover in a worthy manner, allowing us to receive the spiritual healing that we all so desperately need. Please turn with me to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Surely he has borne our griefs and sicknesses and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Do we really believe this? Do we believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him dies? No. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This all hinges around the Passover and our observance of this very special ceremony. Are we really preparing for the Passover so that we can observe it in a worthy manner? We have so much sickness, so many griefs, and yes, even sorrows. He was beaten and crucified on the stake for each and every one of us. It was through the stripes that he received that allows us to have physical and spiritual healing today. And ultimately, his sacrifice allows us to have the opportunity of everlasting life. With that in mind, what will be our approach to preparing for Passover this year? What will be our approach? As we all know, we should be evaluating and examining ourselves throughout the entire year. However, as we near a season that requires self-examination, we need to carefully examine our lives, our thoughts, our commitment to God's way of life. Because you know, in all reality, our spiritual lives, they depend on it. Just as sometimes our physical lives truly depend on a visit to the doctor, maybe even a trip to the emergency room. How many of you do not like going to the doctor? I see a lot of people raising their hands. I saw a lot of people shaking their head yes, because they didn't want to raise their hand. Well, today we're going to symbolize this process of examination before the spring holidays with making a visit to a physician and getting our physical exam. Now, if you're anything like me, it's probably not going to be enjoyable. I do not enjoy getting a physical. But thankfully, rather than going to a doctor and being examined, you know what? We're told to examine ourselves. So I'm going to take a slightly different approach today. In your notes, I would like for you to each write something. My name is blank, the patient. For instance, I would write, my name is Kevin, the patient. Now this is going to be at the top of your chart. On the next line, I would like each of you to write, my name is Dr. Blank. And again, I would write, my name is Dr. Kevin. Now, I don't get paid like a doctor, so. You know, that was easy, wasn't it? We have our chart. We have established something very simple. We've established that we're going to perform our own self-examination. We don't have to leave home. There are no lengthy forms to fill out. We don't need to provide an insurance card. You know what's even better? It's free. There's no copay involved. So let's remember this analogy and diligently be our patient and physician for the next several weeks. So keeping that in mind, now that we've established that I'm a patient and also I'm a doctor, as well as you all, I'd like to suggest three items that we should pay very close attention to during our self-examination. Now, the remaining part of this message is, it's going to be a little different in the fact that I'm going to ask many, many, many questions. Questions get us thinking. After all, when we examine ourselves, shouldn't we be asking a lot of questions? We need to dig deep, trying to search for, trying to eliminate those faults and shortcomings. But please keep this in mind. This examination is, it's not only intended to be for the next 4.5 weeks, I think, but we should be examining ourselves constantly. Okay, let's get started. Let's gown up and get started with the examination. What is one of the first things that a doctor will ask you when you go in for a checkup? Do you remember from my opening remarks? It usually goes along the lines of, what seems to be the trouble? Has something been bothering you? Are you feeling all right? Where do you feel pain? Pretty typical questions for a checkup. I feel that in our self-examination, we should first stop and ask ourselves, is there anything troubling or bothering us? For instance, do I have a problem with a fellow church member? Is there a person in the church that I do not love? Am I harboring any form of hatred to other church members? Is there anything that was pushed under the rug without being resolved? And maybe it was something that was forgiven, but not forgotten. Perhaps there are things in our lives that have not been forgiven. We need to ask ourselves all of these questions. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy at all. But we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest. However, it's important to realize and understand that these questions are not only geared toward our fellow Church of God members. Jesus Christ commanded us to love our enemies. These questions, they must include all people. As true Christians striving to be Christ-like, shouldn't we have the ability to forgive and forget? Let's turn over to Mark 11, verse 25. Mark 11 and verse 25. Mark 11 and verse 25. Mark 11 and verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. I'd also like to read this from the Amplified Bible. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him and let it drop. Leave it, let it go, in order that your Father who is in heaven may also forgive you your own failings and shortcomings, and let them drop. As of right now, we are all physical human beings. And we have our many faults and shortcomings. And I think we would all agree that it would be really difficult to see a list of all of our own failings and shortcomings. We should be thankful that our faults can be wiped clean and completely forgotten, dropped for good. We as members of God's church, the very body of Christ, must do our part to live peacefully while forgiving others' faults. It is an instruction that Jesus Christ has given us to live by. But there is something on the other side of the coin. We are also told that there is a consequence if we do not follow this instruction. Let's go on to verse 26. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And from the Amplified Bible, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your failings and shortcomings. Oh no. There's a consequence. I don't know about you all, but I have a long list. A long, long, long list of failings and shortcomings. Ones that I try to forget, but God's forgotten them. Each and every one of us in this room is striving for perfection. But we all know that perfection is something that's virtually impossible for us. It's impossible for us to grasp it during this physical life. Can we afford to lose out on that great opportunity to become perfect? The ability to instruct others the principles of forgiveness in the future kingdom of God. Let's all learn how to forgive each other, no matter how difficult it may be. Now, right now, is the time. We can't wait. We must not wait. Okay, as the doctor now, we just determined some things that have been troubling and bothering us. Where does a doctor normally look next? I think in a lot of cases, the mouth is the next examination ground. Let's now take a deep look into our mouths. I don't think we need to go to the drugstore and buy those tongue stick depressor things. I don't think we need those. Or I don't think we have to look in the mirror and say, ah, we don't need to do that. There's one thing we need to do. We just need to open our ears. We just need to open our ears. You may be asking, well, how can I examine my mouth by opening my ears? Well, sometimes we just have to stop and listen to ourselves talk. Perhaps we might be amazed to what we hear. Would we hear cursing and swearing? Could we be using euphemisms? How do we communicate with others? Are we kind? Or are we full of wrath and anger? Do we enjoy quarreling? These are some pretty important questions to ask. I think we need to closely monitor our language. I think it's important because if the use of our language were not important, many scriptures of the Bible just wouldn't exist. They wouldn't have been included in the text. For instance, Ephesians 4, verse 29. That's one that probably would not exist. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. 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 Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let's continue reading in verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. That's interesting. Being tender-hearted and removing all evil speaking from our mouths. Removing all bitterness and only speaking of things that edify others. And all at the same time forgiving others. How can we remove bitterness if we cannot forgive and be encouraging? How can we forgive if we cannot remove the bitterness and become tender-hearted and understanding? You know, these items, they all go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. And I've said this many times before. What happens when someone cuts us off on the interstate? Do we smile, wave, and say, I forgive you? Or does our fist go through the steering wheel as we blow the horn? What about when we cut someone off? You thought about that? What about when we cut someone off? Do they normally smile at us, wave, and say, I forgive you? Maybe, but I think if your windows are down, in many cases you hear some of that evil speaking. And sometimes you get some sign language that's not so nice. It happens. We're currently on a training ground. This is no walk in the park. It's a very difficult training ground. Satan is constantly trying to disrupt and influence us constantly. But God has called us to be out of the world, even though we live in the world. He has called us to be His elect. He didn't call us the strong, but as the weak. With the help of God's Holy Spirit, we have the tools to continue our training and eventually become a part of His wonderful kingdom. What a blessing that is. But we need to do our part. We need to be examining ourselves now. Okay, so where do we go next? By now, the doctor has maybe put on a stethoscope. Is that how you pronounce it? Stethoscope? Yep. Maybe he wants to listen to our lungs. Maybe he wants to listen to our heartbeat. I think that during our self-examination, we need to take a look at our hearts. What actions, thoughts, or words come from our hearts. In Matthew 15, we see that the heart and mouth are directly connected. Let's go there. Matthew 15 and verse 17. 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 Jesus Christ's very own words. Matthew 15 and verse 17. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Do we have a forgiving heart? Are we tender-hearted? Are we compassionate? Are we honest with others? Are we being honest with ourselves during this self-examination? Do we speak of evil? Are we angry and bitter? Do we always think that we've been judged unfairly? Do we always think that we've gotten the short end of the stick? If so, you know, maybe there's a problem. If so, there's probably a problem somewhere. As my dad always said, when I'm pointing at someone else, there are three fingers here pointing back at me. These are important questions to ask. Are we committed to God's way of life? We need to ask ourselves, is God really happy with where my heart is now? God's law must continue to be engraved and deeply etched in our hearts and minds, and we must be dedicated to following God's way of life, no matter the cost. That way of life has often been referred to as a path that is straight and narrow. We need to retain our focus on the straight and narrow path. Nothing should ever be allowed to get us off track and miss the narrow gate. It is a narrow gate. In order to stay on track, we need to continue examining ourselves and making slight course corrections, making slight adjustments. It's a lot easier to make a slight adjustment than have to make a sharp turn. But you have to stay on that narrow, straight, narrow path. Because you know what? If we are on the straight and narrow path, that narrow gate is just straight ahead. If we're on the straight and narrow path, that gate's not going to be over here. It's going to be right there. We have to keep our eyes on that gate. We need to stay on that straight and narrow path. Well, we've looked at three things. We just performed a quick examination on ourselves. Did we find any faults? How did your examination go? You don't have to tell me. As for me, I know that I have a whole lot of work to do. Earlier, I asked for a showing of hands of how many of you do not like going to the doctor? Well, I know Shauna. I'm pretty positive that she would tell you that I do not like going to the doctor. But you know, I've come to the conclusion with one of the reasons I don't like going to the doctor. I don't like going because I don't want to hear what is wrong with me. I don't want to hear about all of the things that I'm doing wrong or that are wrong with me. It's a part of our human nature that we do not like to hear about our faults and our shortcomings. We tend to get upset or have our feelings hurt when someone points out a fault that we have. But you know, sometimes we need to have our faults pointed out. If we didn't, there wouldn't be a Matthew 18 in this Bible. It's all in how it's done. There's a proper way of having faults pointed out by others. But you know what? It's a lot easier if I find the fault and shortcoming myself. That's one of the points of self-examination. That self-examination gives us an opportunity to say, you know, I really need to do better in this area. Or, wow, I didn't know I had this problem. And once we've determined that we have a problem, we're put to task. We have to make those needed corrections. That's how we learn. That's how we grow. That is God's expectation of us. Because at baptism, we made that commitment. Spiritual growth is a process that requires our examination and willingness to make changes for the better. We must prepare and observe the Passover in a worthy manner. Please turn back with me to 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We must continue examining ourselves, making sure that we forgive others, making sure that all things coming from our mouths are used to edify others, and that our hearts are dedicated to God's way of life. We must acknowledge that the death of our Savior Jesus Christ paid the death penalty for each and every one of us. When we take of the cup, symbolizing Christ's blood that washed our sins away, let's be aware of the price that He paid for us. When we take of the bread, symbolizing His beaten and whipped body, let's realize that He suffered such a brutal punishment on our behalf so that we might be healed and have life. May we all observe this upcoming Passover in a worthy manner.